Good evening. We talk all the time, and rightfully so, about what we can do to help others. But maybe not quite as much what we can do to help ourselves. Sometimes I'll notice some people who do so much, and it's amazing to see. But then over time, you just slowly start to see them wear down. And I just want to take them and say, it's okay. You can take a break. Someone else can help you. Because ultimately, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. What we can do to help fill ourselves back up when we feel like we're just running on empty. Now, before I get into the sermon, I want to make this abundantly clear. I'm in no way trying to say that having giving hearts or putting others first is wrong. No. As Christians, we are called to do that, so we absolutely should be. What I am saying is we have to remember to take care of ourselves as well. And I want to start off maybe a little surface level, but it gets so easily overlooked. What about the body? What about when we feel physically empty? Now, obviously, with COVID and all that going around, should go without saying, but if you are feeling sick, it is okay. Go ahead, stay home. That is totally understandable. But if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we'll look at verses 23 through 27. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" His disciples are in an absolute panic. He's asleep. It's not likely that he thought, I'm on a boat in the middle of the sea. There's about to be a great storm coming through. Perfect time for a nap. No, he's tired like everyone else. And if you've seen any renderings of what these boats may have looked like, they're nothing like what we think of when we think of a boat. I saw one at one point, and all I could think of was, how could someone sleep in that? But he was. So it's okay to take that time to rest, to strengthen up. I like to agree with Scott. I think he goes back to sleep after this. And while he doesn't take care of this other physical need, he is urged to do so over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 31. This is while Jesus is speaking with the woman at the well. It says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.'" Now, if you read on, you see Jesus pull it right back to the spiritual. But his disciples are watching out for him. They are making sure that he is physically taking care of himself. And these things we'll often put to the side to help, and that's great, but sometimes it can be a detriment. Maybe you haven't eaten all day, or maybe you pulled an all-nighter. Now you're not at your best, and not doing as well as you could be doing, or even want to be doing, because you're distracted by this physical need that you have. As much as you may want to help, which is great, you could end up hurting yourself or others if you don't take care of it. So if you have the time, take care of it, because you and everyone else is going to be better for it. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is found in 1 Kings 19. I'm not going to read this right now, But I do encourage you to do so if you take the time later. But to recap the first part of the story, Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel after Baal's prophets are killed. So he runs away, he hides, goes to sleep under a juniper tree. Twice, an angel comes, tells him to get up and eat and drink. Have you ever had a grandparent that, no matter what you said or did, they never believed you weren't hungry? That's the image I get here. Because God knows that in his condition, Elijah is not able to make this journey that's facing him. He needed that extra time, and God blessed him with it. And if you read on in the story, you see that with that, Elijah is able to make that journey. So we must make sure that we are physically taking care of ourselves. But what about our mind, our spirit? When we feel like we just can't handle one more difficult thing. Over in the book of Luke, we see multiple times our Savior praying. If you would turn to chapter 5 with me. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Even Jesus could wear down mentally. You imagine doing the same thing all day, every day, for almost anything, eventually it is going to wear on you. So what does Jesus do? He prays. He gets away for a minute. He takes the time he needs to get back to the place he needs to be in. It reminds me of Simone Biles at the Olympics and Naomi Osaka at the French Open. Two of the greatest athletes at their sport. They bowed out of the biggest stage because their mental health was not right. The biggest stage was not worth the continued deterioration of their mental health. And we have a perfect example in Jesus. Over in chapter 6, verse 12, he's faced with choosing the disciples. So what does he do? He prays all night. He knows he has to be in the absolute best place mentally in order to make this decision. He is about to choose the one who is going to betray him. You don't think there's some doubts running through his mind, his human mind? And we see in chapter 22, he's in the garden before he is about to be beaten and crucified. Luke describes it, his sweat was like drops of blood. Let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done. So it's okay. Take that time to get away, get your mind, and get your spirit right, because they need taken care of too. And remember that there is absolutely never a bad time to pray. But sometimes along the road, we need some help. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll read verse 11. This is after Jesus has been tempted by Satan. He finally tells him to go. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Even Jesus needed a little help. If you imagine facing your toughest enemy, if you're dealing with some major internal struggle, even if you come out of that victorious, it's going to wear on you. It just is. That's how life is. This is why we say that we train for a marathon, not a sprint in our race. Because along the road, We're going to have difficult things. We're going to trip up. And we need help sometimes. But there's also this stigma sometimes about not being willing to ask for help. That for some reason it means you're weak. But don't listen to that. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're human. We all deal with struggles sometimes. We all need help sometimes. And that's why we're here, because we are a family. But do remember that God is always with you. In John 14, John chapter 14, read verses 25 through 27. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Even though the disciples did not understand it at this time, this was about to be a very fearful time for them when Jesus left. But Jesus assures them that everything's going to be okay, that God, that the Holy Spirit, are going to be with him. That same God is with you. The same God that was with the disciples, with Moses, with Abraham, with David. He is with you. Remember that. Lean on him. He is with you every step of the way. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, "Through the fires, through the floods, I am with you." He is always with you. Now how? How can we do this? Maybe you're dealing with something, and you're just saying to yourself, "I don't know what I can do. This situation is just wearing on me. How? How can I get my cup full again?" Well, first I'd say, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Over in Mark 12. Mark 12, read verses 28 through 31. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked them, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't mean that if you say you hate yourself, that you get to go out and hate your neighbor. No. There is the basic assumption that as a human, you're going to take care of yourself. And not in a prideful or pompous way, but simply, if you love it, you take care of it. Husbands, you love your wives, you take care of your wives. Wives, you love your husbands, you take care of your husbands. You can apply this to so many different relationships. Children, so on and so forth. If you love it, you take care of it. You love yourself, you take care of yourself. And maybe you'd say, "Okay, Matt, I'm trying to take these breaks, get my mind off of it. It's just not working. Still just drained. This situation is just eating at me." Well, maybe we need a new perspective on things. Over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, read the first four verses. writes, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Sometimes a new perspective can make all the difference. Remember that it's not all about this life, that we are living for an eternal life, that our life is hidden with Christ in God, and that when that day comes, we can be revealed with him in glory, that we're living for the next life. Maybe it's as simple as asking yourself, is this going to matter in 5, 10 years, or even 5, 10 months from now? And maybe you'd say to yourself, yes, Matt, this can have huge implications way down the line. Okay, ask for help. Galatians 6:1 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We are called to help one another. We are a family. Lean on them. They are ready and willing to help you. And over in Luke 23, we see Jesus again. He's bearing his own cross after all that he went through, all the scourgings, all the beatings. He's bearing his own cross, and he can't do it anymore. They had to get help for him. They had to get Simon to bear the cross for him. It's okay to ask for help. Don't be prideful and just say, oh, I'm good, if you're really not. Be humble. Be willing to admit that you're struggling, that you need help. Because that's why we're here. But on the flip side of that, from the one asking how the person is, I would also urge you to not assume. I think from the mental perspective of things, we assume too much. If you go and ask someone how they are, they smile and they say, I'm good, that we assume everything's good. No. In reality, there could be 1,000 different things going on inside their head. I think it's been probably 3, maybe 4 years. I remember Tyler would ask, if you weren't okay, would you tell me? And as great and valid of a question as that is, maybe we should also answer, why wouldn't you tell me? And I think a lot of it comes down to our relationships. Maybe you're not as close with that person. Guess what we get from that? Even more assumptions. Oh, this person doesn't really like me. This person doesn't really care about the struggles that I'm going through. This is just our standard greeting in America. Well, guess what? We should care, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not close with them, start talking to them. Get to know them. Or maybe you are close with them, but you don't want them worrying about you. Maybe you're like me, and that you'd rather worry about your friend than have your friend worry about you. But guess what? They're your friends. They're going to be the ones who are willing to care about you. And by all this, I don't mean that we need to start digging, saying, is this okay? Is that okay? Or poke at the same thing over and over again. Don't do that, because you can just get walls put up, and you don't want that. But maybe just simply asking, is there anything I can pray for you about? Because then you give them the freedom to be as descriptive or discreet as they want. They can lean on you. They can tell you about some big problem that they've been having. Or they can just say, yeah, I'm going through a lot right now. I don't really feel like getting into it, but I would really appreciate prayers. Scott's always mentioning that we should be praying for one another. So let's pray for one another. And don't assume things, but just offer support. because that can make all the difference in the world to them. And maybe you'd say, okay, man, I'm so thankful to have such a great family who's willing to help me. But this isn't really a problem that they can help with. Well, I'd probably tend to disagree with that. Okay. You have a God who is begging you to come to him. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's rest is greater than anyone can offer. If no one else can help you, he can. So go to him. You know what's amazing about that? He wants you to. He wants to take your burdens away. He wants you to trust him, to lean on him, and give him whatever it is that you're struggling with. Pray about it. Let others pray for you. It is a great thing to have your brothers and sisters lift your name to the great I am in prayer. Remember that it is okay to not be okay. It's okay to take that time to get better. It could be something as simple as taking care of your physical needs. It can be something greater as getting away and getting your mind and spirit right. So I ask you tonight, is your cup full? Can we help fill your cup? Why wouldn't you want to go to the one who's begging you to give him your troubles? He can take them away. He intimately knows the struggles you are facing tonight. He knows what you're thinking. Give him those thoughts. Let him take care of them. Because there is no one greater who can take care of them. And maybe you're thinking, why would such an all-powerful and all-knowing God care about my, comparatively speaking, insignificant troubles? You know why? Because he loves you. You know how much he loves you? He was willing to send his son to die for you. Never forget that love. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with something. Maybe it's something physically. It's emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Let us pray for you. Maybe there's a sin that's eating at you. If you have already put him on in baptism, again, let us pray for you. Let's pray to have your sins forgiven. But if you have not put him on in baptism, why not now? The water's ready. There is power in the blood to make you clean, that you can walk out of here knowing that you are right with God. The water's ready. Come to him. He's begging you. If there's anything that we can do for you tonight, won't you please come as we stand and sing?